Good day and welcome to the Systemair's third quarter 2019 financial results conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Nicolai Minashin, Managing Director, Investor Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator. Before we start, we would like to draw your attention to the fact that some of the information during this call contains projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events or the future financial performance of Systemair. You can identify forward-looking statements by terms such as expect, believe, anticipate, estimate, intend, will, could, may, or might, the negative of such terms or other similar expressions. We wish to caution you that these statements are only predictions and that actual events or results may differ materially. We do not intend to update the statements to reflect events and circumstances occurring after the date hereof or to reflect the occurrence of anticipated events. Many factors could cause the actual results to differ materially from those contained in our projections or forward-looking statements, including, among others, future rating economic conditions, competitive environment risks, risks associated with operating in Russia, rapid technological and market in our industries, as well as many other risks specifically related to situations. Dear ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your interest in Systemair. Today, Systemair's financial and operating results for the third quarter 2019 will be presented by Mr. Andrei Dubovskov, Systemair President and Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Vladimir Travkov, Systemair's Vice President and Chief Financial Officer. With that, I will turn the call to Andrei Dubovskov.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Before we begin our discussion, I wanted to highlight that we have a special guest on today's call. As our non-public portfolio companies develop and grow in importance for Systemair's equity story, we want to shed more light on these businesses. To this end, from time to time, we will be inviting CEOs of our private assets, as well as the Systemair's management partners that oversee these businesses, to join us for quarterly investor calls. Today, we are delighted to be joined by Alexander Shulgin, CEO of Ozon, who will introduce many of you to Ozon, its strategic goals and its operations. Some of you may know Alexander from his time at Yandex, and during his tenure with the company, Alexander served as both CPO and CEO and oversaw the company's IPO on Nasdaq. Alexander joined Ozon less than 2 years ago. During this time, he has dramatically accelerated the pace of growth at Ozon. The company is now expanding at the fastest rate over the last 15 years, executed major investments in fulfillment centers, and launched a number of value-added services. It's a pleasure to have Alexander with us today. Systemair's results for third quarter 2019 reflect the successful growth and operational efficiency of the corporation portfolio companies and our success in executing our strategy at the holding level. Dynamic growth at MTS, Detsky Mir, Mitsi, Step, and other key assets drove Systemair's revenue growth of 7% year-on-year. At the EBITDA level, we saw pressure from the softer global commodities prices, unfortunately. Group adjusted to EBITDA was up 4% year-on-year, with the adjusted to EBITDA margin coming in at a strong 35%. MTS posted high growth rate driven by revenue from mobile services, as well as an increasing contribution from MTS Bank. Detsky Mir continued to strengthen its market leadership. It has also substantially accelerated like-for-like sales compared with the first and second quarters this year. The company consistently demonstrates high levels of profitability while realizing a significant increase in dividend payments. This quarter, we saw weaker results from Segezha, as global prices for pulp and paper products softened during the period. Weakness across segments is driven both by oversupply and softer demands as a result of slower growth in the construction industry in China and the Middle East. However, in spite of the challenging environment, Segezha continues to grow its presence in the most lucrative export markets and expand its production facilities for paper sacks, plywood, and pellets. Our agricultural holding STEP reported top-line growth of 26%. This growth was driven by strong operating performance in grain production, milk output and the apple orchard segments, and growing contribution from the grocery trading businesses. During the third quarter, lower global wheat price put pressure on STEP's revenue and EBITDA dynamics, but starting from October, we note an improvement in the global pricing environment. Mitsi delivered an 18% increase in revenue on the back of stronger demand for higher quality healthcare. Notably, revenue improvement came across all channels. voluntary health insurance, mandatory health insurance, and private payers. We see continuous construction of a new multifunctional center on Michurinsky Prospect, which will increase its capacity by roughly 15%. MITSI plans to open this facility next year. It will house a clinical diagnostic center for children and adults, a daytime inpatient clinic, and a 24-hour inpatient clinic with a center for high-tech surgery. Additionally, MITSI is expanding its network of outpatient clinics in five districts outside central Moscow. A key aspect of our corporate strategy has been a focus on rebalancing and monetizing our portfolio assets to both reduce our balance sheet commitment and create new investment resources. Over the past 6 months, we have made considerable progress in the showcasing our capabilities in reducing risk at the corporate center level, while simultaneously demonstrating our creative approach to existing transactions in this market. In August, we completed the sale of our remaining 49% in Leader Invest to Etalon Group, thus bringing Etalon's share in the company to 100%. This is allow Etalon to fully unlock synergies between the two businesses and position Etalon as a leader in Russia's two largest residential real estate markets, Moscow and St. Petersburg. The deal generated roughly 15 billion rubles for Sistema, the bulk of which has been used to reduce our debt levels. Last week, we also concluded a sale of shares in Detsky Mir through a secondary public offering. The offering represented 23.7% of Detsky Mir's shares capital, as both Sistema and the Russian China Investment Fund sold shares. In total, the offering raised close to 16 billion rubles, with 12.5 billion rubles of proceeds coming to Sistema. The book was well subscribed, and in the end, the price was 91 ruble per share, and was 5.8% discounted to the price when the offer was launched, and only 2.2% discounted to the price on the day the book closed. There are healthy metrics for a deal like this, and we are confident that strategically, a sale to the market was the best way to realize the full value of this stake in Portugal. As I stated when launching the transaction, a key aim of this deal was to enhance liquidity by Indetsky by increasing the free float. We succeeded here. The investor participated were global, with a strong concentration in Russia and Central and Eastern Europe. Many were also existing Indetsky shareholders. This supports our view that a high free float, combined with the company's financial and operating excellence driven by a top-notch management team, both well for market value of the company and, of course, for the value of our remaining 33% stake. Lastly, MTS recently announced the sale of its business in Ukraine. Simultaneously, MTS announced a special dividend in relation to the sale, which should realize over 10 billion rubles for Sistema in the beginning of the next year. While personally a bit sad to this business change, hence given the fact that I spent around 3.5 years in charge of this asset, we support MTS efforts to focus more on the Russian market and opportunities in the digital space. In sum, we have executed over 33 billion in monetization within a period of 6 months. To realize this, we have tapped the public market, completed a merger of one asset with a market leader in publicly traded peer, and one of the biggest assets has optimized its portfolio by monetizing an asset through its strategic rationale. As Vladimir will detail, the bulk of these resources have been allocated to deleverage our balance sheet, but the breadth of the transactions showcases how Sistema can be creative and versatile in realizing success in our market. Let me now hand the floor over to Vladimir Travkov, our CFO, who will discuss our financial performance in the third quarter in greater detail.
Thank you, Andrei, and thanks to all of you for joining our call today. I am pleased to report that during the third quarter, we managed to achieve significant improvements in Sistema's leverage profile and overall financial position. This progress was supported by the strong financial performance and cash returns delivered by our key assets, as well as successful monetization of Leader Invest. Once again, we delivered healthy growth and resilient operating profitability. Consolidated revenues for the quarter increased by 6.6% year-on-year to 214 billion rubles. Adjusted EBITDA was up 4.4%, reaching 75.4 billion rubles. The main contributors to the growth year-on-year were MTS, Business Nedvizhimost, and Minty. At MTS, robust EBITDA growth of 8.8% year-on-year was the result of an improvement in mobile service revenue and a lower share of smartphone sales in revenue mix. MTS remains the most profitable name in the Russian telecom space. Its Russian EBITDA margin reached 47% this quarter. Detsky Mir continued to raise the bar in terms of cost discipline. This allowed the company to increase adjusted EBITDA by 9.3% year-on-year, with a strong adjusted EBITDA margin of 18.7% for the third quarter. This was achieved despite the company's ongoing focus on maintaining optimal prices as it continued to consolidate the market for children's goods. Among our non-public assets, MITSI, BPGC, and Business Nedvizhimost posted strong year-on-year expansion in the adjusted EBITDA margins. This was partially offset by revenue and EBITDA pressures at Segezha Group, resulting from global market challenges. Consolidated EBITDA was also negatively impacted by net loss of Ozon, where we continue to invest into infrastructure enhancement, expansion of market share, and innovative product offerings. Система Group SG&A expenses increased by 10.1% year-on-year in the third quarter, reflecting high SG&A at MTS, Детский Мир, and the Corporate Center. The consolidated SG&A to revenue ratio increased slightly year-on-year due to the SG&A growth ahead of the increase of revenue at MTS and Детский Мир, as they continued to expand their operations. The increase also was impacted by additional expenses related to the large asset monetizations at Corporate Center. TEPMIT-C, our rental assets, and BPGC delivered an improved SG&A to revenue ratio year-on-year. Now, I would like to focus on our cash flows and debt profile. Система's portfolio companies delivered approximately 17.6 billion rubles in dividends and cash returns, including 15.6 billion rubles in dividends from MTS. In August, we also received 14.6 billion rubles from the sale of our remaining 49% stake in Leader Invest to Italon. In line with our strategic priorities, we used a portion of this cash proceeds to deleverage our balance sheet, bringing total net debt repayments for the quarter to 18.4 billion rubles. Apart from repaying debt and making interest payments, we also used 4.9 billion rubles for investments in new and current projects, including 1 billion rubles deployed in the form of convertible loan to Ozon. Overall, we achieved very considerable progress in terms of deleveraging. Система's net financial liabilities at the corporate center level decreased by 8.7% during the quarter to 199 billion rubles by the end of the quarter, lowest since 2017. At the group level, our financial liabilities decreased by 3.2% to 711.6 billion rubles as of the end of the third quarter, primarily driven by the reduction at the corporate center. On the back of robust demand for our debt, we maintain strong momentum in debt capital markets, aiming to further diversify and optimize our liabilities. In July, we issued a local bond to raise 10 billion rubles with a put option in 4 years at interest rate of 9.4%. 3 months later, in October, we placed another 10 billion ruble bond with the put option in 5 years, this time achieving a much lower coupon rate of 7.85%. Funds from these placements were used to refinance existing loans, one in rubles and one fully hedged in dollars. In November, we significantly improved the terms of credit agreements with Sberbank, our largest creditor. We managed to reduce rates and extend the maturity of collateralized loan and unpledged loans till 2025 and 2024, respectively. As a result of our debt optimization efforts, we were able to further decrease our average cost of debt and increase the average duration of our portfolio to 3.7 years. At the end of the third quarter, our cash position amounted to 4.8 billion rubles. In November, it was further strengthened by dividend payments from MTS, as well as 12.5 billion ruble inflow from the successful public offering of Detski Mir shares. As we commented previously, a significant portion of these funds will be used to further reduce our leverage. We are pleased that enhancements of our financial profile have been recognized by both international and Russian rating agencies. In August, S&P raised our credit rating by one notch, bringing back to the category of BB-. And in September, the RAEX rating agency upgraded our domestic credit rating also by one notch to RU-A. Upgrade by RAEX provides for inclusion of Sistema's bond in Lombard list of central bank. In closing, I would like to reiterate that we remain fully committed to further growing the value of our portfolio and strengthening our financial profile. Thank you again for your attention. I will now hand the floor to Alexander Shulgin.
Thank you, Andrei and Vladimir, for this opportunity to introduce Ozon to the investment community. For almost 2 years, I have been privileged to run Ozon, the leading multi-category online retail platform in Russia. We operate in an industry that is both highly fragmented and fast-growing. E-commerce is the fastest-growing segment in Russian retail. The market has expanded 26% year-on-year in the first half of 2019. It is still a relatively small segment of the market, comprising just 6% of total retail turnover. So the opportunity for growth is huge. Ozon is uniquely placed to emerge as a clear leader in this space. In a market growing at 26% rate, Ozon demonstrates stellar GMV growth of almost 100%. Since the beginning of 2017, we increased GMV 3.5 times, and we are committed to continue to deliver similar growth rates going forward. So what are the key advantages of Ozon that have enabled us such fast expansion and will continue to fuel growth going forward? We think our strengths include the largest multi-category assortment of goods in the Russian e-commerce space, the most advanced logistics infrastructure, and the most recognized brand. Also, the complex of customer products and services that we are launching currently, like FinTech, which is complementary to e-commerce, and driving Russian customers to switch more and more from offline to online consumption. And every day we continue to expand the assortment, invest in our infrastructure, improve last-mile delivery quality, and strengthen the brand. Ozon currently offers over 2 million SKUs and has unrivaled depth of SKUs by category. From custom electronics, children's goods, home and decor, apparel, to books, health and beauty products, in each category, we have more goods to offer than the competition. With the aim of still further expanding the assortment, about a year ago, we launched the marketplace platform. Today, after a year of operation, it counts for more than 5,000 active sellers, with about 15,000 more in the process of onboarding, and accounts for over 40% of Ozon assortment and reached 23% of GMV in the end of Q3. Expansion of assortment of goods requires a rapid development of logistics infrastructure and substantial investment in both state-of-the-art fulfillment facilities and last-mile delivery. Ozon currently operates 8 fulfillment centers across the country with total floor space of over 160,000 square meters and continues to build out its logistics infrastructure. In the first half of this year, we launched the first phase of Russia's largest fulfillment center in the Moscow region. The facility already reached productivity of processing 25,000 orders per day in Q3, with materially higher volumes as of today. We also have a pipeline of new fulfillment centers opening in the region's plans for next year, including the recent start of construction of a new 20,000 square meters fulfillment center in the Republic of Tatarstan. Existing fulfillment infrastructure in combination with national delivery network comprising diversified set of delivery channels, including both own and partners, couriers, self and partners pickup points, and lockers, allows us to offer next day delivery to 40% of Russian population. We aim to be close to our customers, and today our partners' self-pickup point locations count approximately 10,000 offline points of presence. 2 years ago, we started building our network of own parcel lockers, and as of today, Ozon already operates Russia's largest network of own parcel lockers with more than 5,000 units installed. And in combination with partners, we operate a network of 6,000 parcel lockers. Within 2 years since start, parcel lockers have gained 20% share in total Ozon orders. We plan to continue to expand our delivery infrastructure rapidly, and we are constantly focused on improving the terms and quality of our delivery services to customers. We are also experimenting with new products and formats. We were the first in Russia to launch a leave-at-the-doorstep delivery option, which doesn't require customers to wait for a courier at an indicated time slot. The trial phase in Moscow was a success, after which the service was expanded to cover more than 20 cities across the country. Another major pillar of Ozon's success in the market have been strengths of our brand. The company was founded 21 years ago, and over the years we have established significant trust and brand loyalty. We are now building on this trust by developing a premium subscription service, which by the end of Q3 was already purchased by more than 140 loyal customers. Interestingly, after purchasing premium subscription, we typically see customers' order frequency rise 2 to 3 times. And we are using our relationship with the customers to build out an ecosystem of financial services around our core e-commerce offering. For customers, the value-added services include pay later option as well as Ozon banking card with a cashback on all Ozon purchases. Holders of this card increase their spend at average spend and frequency 4 times per month. For sellers, we have introduced a peer-to-business lending platform called Ozon Invest that enables our marketplace sellers to secure financing from Ozon customers. In conclusion, I would like to reiterate that Ozon is ideally positioned to strengthen its leadership and has multiple avenues of growth in an underpenetrated market. Thank you for your attention. I will now hand the call back to Nikolai.
Thank you, Alexander. Operator, we are now ready to take questions.
Certainly. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please make sure the mute function on your phone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to assemble the queue. We will now take our first question from Vyacheslav Dyegtyarev of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks for the presentation. How do you think you are positioned with regards to your portfolio monetization further? This year was quite active on asset monetization. Do you envisage a similar scope of opportunities going into 2020, or you will mostly rely on the dividend upstream next year? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for your question. It's Andrei Dubovskov. Monetizations will be subject to interest from potential buyers and our portfolio strategy. And as you know, Sistema's portfolio consists of more than 15 businesses, leaders in their respective industries. And our portfolio companies also own non-core assets that can be effectively monetized. And our liquidity position is comfortable, so we intend to pursue a balanced approach to monetization. But at the same time, as you know, during some last periods, we are looking for the good possibility for monetization in some exact industries. First of all, it's our Bashkirian subsidiary, and fortunately for us, right now we have finalized our SPO story with Detsky Mir, and maybe some other enterprises will be monetizing in 2020. But what exact, in what exact industries it will be, it's an open question right now.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We will now move to our next question from Alexander Vengranovich of Renaissance Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Congratulations. It's a good quarter. Just a couple of questions on Ozon. So first one, it's probably a question to Alexander. Can you split the GMV growth between the growth in number of orders and average check? And how do you plan to grow in the remaining part of the of 2019 and next year? Do you feel that more and more growth will be coming from the just increasing the number of the orders due to the high penetration of the e-commerce, or do you feel that the competition on the market might get a little bit easier, so you might also start to increase the prices on this market? And the second question is on the annualized size of the cash burn rate at Ozon currently. So I've noticed that in the third quarter, in the presentation, Sistema made another 1 billion ruble investment as a convertible loan to Ozon. So just wanted to understand what is the sort of a scale of the potential investments needed to finance the operations this year and next year probably. Thank you.
Alexander, thank you very much for the question. So the growth of GMV comes primarily from growth of a number of customers and order frequency, and so more orders generate more GMV growth. As we expand our delivery infrastructure and logistics and expand assortment, there are more opportunities for people to shop on Ozon, and they make more orders. Average check does not change materially, but don't get it confused with prices. So every check in e-commerce is very much driven by delivery terms and amounts, let's say, the barrier of free delivery and so on. So our delivery terms are quite good for customers, and every check stays flat irrespective of changes of the category mix. So we are committed to growing number of customers and increasing frequency, and we already see a subset of our customer base of several hundred thousand people making monthly and even weekly purchases on Ozon. So Russian customers, they enjoy e-commerce and they want it to happen. On the cash burn, since we're still a private company, we do not disclose that amount. Yes, on that.
Okay.
Thank you. We will now move to our next question from Anna Kurbatova of Alpha Bank. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for presentation. I have a follow-up question on Ozon and a second question regarding the completion of the Synthes assets in August. So basically, on Ozone, it will be like kind of extension of Alexander's previous question. First of all, the third quarter investments were 1 billion ruble. So I wonder, this investment, was accompanied by equal or similar investment by your partner in Ozone, Bearings, or it was just from Sistema side? And how do you kind of scheme investments, Sistema and your partner? And the second question, maybe rephrasing, if you do not can comment, you can comment on the cash burn, maybe you could give some guideline whether your pace of investments into infrastructure, logistics, and other needs will be more or less the same, or accelerate or decelerate in next year compared to the 2019. And finally, on Synthes, the completion of the deal was announced in early August, and also there was announced the intention that it may be mandatory offer to Synthes minority holders. So could you please comment on the status of this offer currently? Thank you.
Let me say some statement about MTO and Synthes, because it's a little bit shortly a question. As you know, Synacom is preparing the launch of mandatory tender offer, and when Synacom launched the MTO, we will be able to provide you with more details on this matter. And of course, I can assure you that this is one of the priorities of Sistema's team overseeing pharma assets. And we are engaged with the regulator and aim to resolve this issue as soon as possible. Believe us. Thank you.
Yes, and to follow up on the Ozone-related questions, so we very much appreciate support of our shareholders, and both Sistema and Bearing participated in the latest convertible loan in equal parts. Talking about investments next year, we see approximately the same amount of capital investment that is required to expand the infrastructure of the company. Major use of investment is building the fulfillment and last mile delivery infrastructure, as well as developing the core IT products. The company currently employs approximately 800 engineers, which are building the technology stack to enable growth of the company.
Oh, thank you very much. That's very clear. Thank you.
We will now move to our next question from Igor Goncharov of Gazprom Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much. Three questions, please. One is on Bashkirian asset. If I understood you correctly, you mentioned it as one of the assets, one of the targets for monetizations. Some time ago, it was, I understand there were some legal restrictions with regards to selling this asset. So I was wondering if those can, if those restrictions are still in place, or you envision, if they are, you envision some removal of those in the future. Number one. Number two is on the dividends. Any update on kind of your dividend view, which you previously indicated that you wanted to kind of reduce the discrepancy between official dividend policy and the practical payments. And number three is relation to Ozone. If you, in relation to convertible loan to Ozone, do you, can you indicate how much, by how much you, if you not, if the Ozone does not pay it back and you receive equity of Ozone in exchange of this money, which I assume is a base scenario, how much your stake in Ozone would increase on the back of this transaction? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for your question. It's Andrei Dubaskov. And talking about the dividends, of course, we continue internal deliberations to determine the best approach for achieving long-term increase in shareholders' value. And we need to find the right balance between the developing our key portfolio companies, identifying and sizing new investment opportunities to support future growth, reducing debt, increasing shareholder returns by paying our dividends. And right now we are not ready to talk about more deeply, but we'll have more clarity with regards to future dividend payments by the time we report our annual results in April, based on our full year 2019. And of course we understand that the number one in our goal, which we aim at, is a good growth of our assets, and number two, it's deleveraging. And talking about the dividend story, of course, it's a very important question. But currently, this question located behind of both question about the good growth and deleveraging. And the second question was Bashkir Energo, yeah. Right now we are not solving the legal story around Bashkir Energo, but we are sure that it can be on the table during 2020. Thank you.
And this is Alexander speaking. So, assuming, first of all, on the convertible loans, we do not disclose the conversion rate because it depends on several factors. Having said this, assuming that these loans convert, Sistema and Baren actually will have slightly over 40% stake in Azon.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. As a reminder, to ask a question at this time, please press star 1. We will now take our follow-up question from Alexander Vengranovich of Renaissance Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks again. Question regarding Detский мир. So following your sale, following the partial sale of your stake, once the lockup expires, do you feel that you might be pursuing the same type of the monetization transaction with Detский мир? Or do you feel that in this environment, when liquidity will be better, when the company will be probably more appealing for investors, you might be seeking for some big financial investor, and it's going to be easier for you to do it this way? So just like share, please, your thoughts on the future of your Detский мир stake and how opportunistic you are with this asset. Thank you.
I think it's too early to talk about our potential steps, but let me remind you that our lock-up period in this deal will be next 180 days, and after that we will be ready to talk about more deeply. But in my opinion, it will be totally depends on the dividend yield in Detский. Totally depends on the growth of its business, totally depends on profitability in that period, not now. And so based on all these results, based on the macro situations in the Russian and world economy next year, we will be ready to talk about more deeply.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Dilya Ibrahimov of Citi. Please go ahead. Dilya, please go ahead. Your line is open. Dilya, we can't hear you at this time, so please...
Yep. Yes, hi. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Apologies for the technical issues. We had a couple of questions, please. One is two on Segeja. First, if you maybe could give us a bit more color on what to look for as we go into Q4 and a first half of the year, maybe what you see in terms of pricing for the key products. You did mention that some of the it seems like there are quite a few moving parts in some places. The places the trends are favorable, in the other there is some like craft paper, there might be pressure. So if you could give us a bit of a color, would be great. And second, as on the future, on the investment projects that Segeja has, especially the big ones like Segeja West, as the group delivers, would the holding be willing to support that project? I think in the past the position was that those projects would be funded by Segeja itself, and then maybe attracting some financial or strategic investors. But now, as the health of the corporate looks, or especially with the expected cash that will be coming in the next few months, and as the health is improving, would you be willing to participate in some of the projects, especially considering that the environment right now may be less favorable to attract financial investor, for example? And the last question is on Ozon, a question to Alexander. And maybe if you could share your vision where you'd like the company to be, or maybe your ideal size in terms of GMV, or maybe what are your ambitions, where you'd like it to be in a few years. It seems like the company right now is in a very active investment phase. Is there a target where you would reach and then you would say, okay, we are at the place, we had enough of investments done, we reached the size that we're happy with, and now we'll move on to more harvest the more of a yielding or getting some yield on what we have invested into. Thanks.
Thank you for your question. And so, talking about the market of paper, you're absolutely right. In the first half of this year, we are faced on some kind of problems, and the market for the pulp and paper products has been booming for the last 2 years. But at the same time, in this year, we think that finally our results will be a little bit under the pressure of the world market. But at the same time, Segeja used this time to expand its production capacities in paper and plywood and substantially reduce costs on oil and electricity. It's a good time to do it and enhance efficiencies in logistics and trading, and launch new products and venture in new markets. That's a good time to spend our resources for some kind of improving our cost policy, improving our facilities. And while indeed we might expect some pressure on the margins in weaker pricing environment, this given us an opportunity to strengthen presence in the market using our competitive cost advantages. And we continue to evaluate major investment projects to build up our production capacities and our long-term strategy. And we remain engaged with potential partners and investors in various projects. But talking about your second part of your question, we are not looking for some kind of financial investors for Segeja like an equity partner. And at the same time, we are not looking for strategic partners. Currently, we have all possibilities to create in Sigeru West our own facilities based on our potential cooperation with banks or other financial institutes. And all the questions which we are faced on currently, I can describe like a process of choosing for the best scenario how we can renovate our facilities, how we can do it more profitable, and how we can do it faster, but no potential strategic partners.
Yeah.
All right. This is Alexander speaking on one question. First of all, we are committed to build shareholder value. And as we discussed, we operate in an industry which is growing very fast from a low base, and the opportunity for growth is huge. So we think that the best way to create shareholder value is to grow the company with a high double-digit growth rate for the several years ahead, maybe 5 years, so to say. Opportunity is infinite, and we are committed to build a multi-billion dollar company in like valuation terms. Talking about cash flow needs, I think the company, like we internally think that the company could break even from cash flow perspective in end of 2022, but then it will be up to shareholders to decide if they would like to continue with the high growth strategy or to keep at lower growth rate.
Thanks very much for all the answers. Thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1. Our next question comes from Maria Sukhanova of BCS. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I have a bunch of questions. So starting with Segirja, could you please be more specific in terms of pricing? I understand it's weak, but have the prices stabilized for pulp and paper, or you saw further declining prices in the fourth quarter? And second, in Segirja, you saw extra negative impact on your sales volumes, as I understand, from production capacities maintenance. So does it mean that in the fourth quarter it would be fair to expect some better performance in this respect? And a couple questions on Ozone. So when you talk about, when you look at your plans to expand on logistics, do you think about it as mostly a tool to drive GMV growth, or there is also evidence that it's it allows you to cut logistics costs and improve unit economics? And second, if you could just at least roughly comment on unit economics, is it possible, positive at this point, or this is something you have to invest at this stage of market? Thank you.
Yeah, talking about the prices for pulp and paper, currently the price is stable, but unfortunately much more weaker than in previous year. And of course we are looking for some kind of increasing of this price, but I think it will be no significant jump. I think till the end of this year, the price will be stable.
Maria, with regards to your question on the impact of maintenance shutdown at Segirja, it was around 15 days during this quarter. So there was some substantial impact on the amount of production. And can you please repeat your question to Alexander? We did not fully grasp this.
Yeah, sure. So first question, when you look at expansion of own logistics, so what are your goals here? Is the key goal to like make it more convenient and make it more affordable for customers to buy from you so that it would increase GMV? Or you see that doing logistics on your own, this allows you to cut logistics costs? And you have evidence in this respect. And second, about unit economics, that with current price in the market, with current cost of logistics, when you grow in your GMV, does it help you to, like, can you be break even, for instance, if you just stop investing in marketing? Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Maria, thank you for the questions. So on logistics expansion, our goal is actually to do both. First of all, we see that providing better delivery terms, I mean fast delivery, or placing more lockers or opening new pickup points creates new additional GMV in a particular geography. So better logistics improves sales. And second, as we expand, the goal is also to decrease CPO, so cost per order for logistics. As density increases and we place more automated machines like lockers, CPO goes down. So we follow both strategies. CPO goes down and better quality of delivery. On unit economics, if the company scales down the growth rate, and actually as the company used to have, say, in 2016, the company was very close to break-even. So it's possible to do it once again, but in reality, I think the best approach to creating shareholder value is to grab market share as market grows very fast currently.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
And as there are no further questions at this time, that will conclude today's question and answer session. And now I would like to turn the call back to Nikolay Minashin for any additional or closing remarks. Over to you, Nikolay.
Thank you, operator. If you have any further questions, please don't hesitate to contact our investor relations team. With that, I would like to thank everyone for this participation and conclude our call and wish everyone a very pleasant evening. Thank you.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.